Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 5. We'll be turning to several passages in Exodus. Exodus, chapter 5. We'll read verse 1. I'll read this verse to you, and then we'll turn to yet other passages in the book of Exodus. Exodus 5:1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Now turn to Exodus chapter 8, verse number 25. We'll read this verse in unison together. Exodus chapter 8, verse 25. Ready? And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." I'll read verse 28 to you. The Bible says, "And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." Now turn to chapter 10, verse number 10. Exodus chapter 10, verse number 10. We'll read this verse together. Ready? And he said unto them, "Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you." Let's read verse 24 together in unison. Ready? And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, "Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this church. Lord, it's hard to believe that just since we met last Sunday, over 250 people out soul winning, just literally dozens and dozens of people saved. Father, this morning it showed altars were full. Father, this last week's blessings have been wonderful, but we're a needy people. We're a sinful people. Father, our nation is in need of a great dose of your holy presence. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Lift him up, Father, as he lifts you up, so that we might be able to be a lot more like you and a whole lot less like ourselves, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'll tell you what, I enjoy church. I ain't had so much fun since the pigs ate my uncle. I tell you, I really do. I am so glad that I'm a Christian. I'm glad I'm born again. I'm glad I'm with God's people. This morning I announced my sermon title for this evening. It's entitled, "America, I Won't Give Up on Your Children." Let me tell you about the sermon, if I could. Let me tell you about the lesson that we have read from the Bible this evening. Exodus chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and on, you see the story of the children of Israel being in captivity to a man by the name of Pharaoh. Well, while in captivity, God says to Moses, "Now, Moses, you go and tell Pharaoh he is to let my people go." So Moses goes and he says to Pharaoh, the captor, you need to let God's people go. God has sent me to say, let the people go." Well, Pharaoh refuses. He doesn't want to do that. And Moses says, "Now listen, we need to go back to our land. We need to go back to our land so we can worship our God in our land. And we need to give a sacrifice to our God. Now let the people go." And Pharaoh refuses. So God started bringing some plagues or punishments, if you will, to the land of Egypt, trying to get their attention. Pharaoh, he begins to become, he gets into a compromising mood. Now remember, this is an evil man. He's an evil leader. Has God's people in captivity. Basically, they're in slavery. But Pharaoh begins to compromise, if you will. He says, "Okay, I'll let you sacrifice if that's what you'd like to do. I'll let you sacrifice, but I don't want you to go to your land. I want you to stay here in my land and sacrifice." Exodus 8:25 it says, "And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, 'Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land.'" What he meant was, "In my land." But see, that wasn't what God wanted. God did not want God's people to stay in the world and serve God. He wanted God's people to come out of the world and serve God and go to their land and serve God. Hey, and don't you make that mistake.
the world comes and the devil comes and he says, listen, get your little bit of religion, but stay right here and live in the world and don't separate from the world. But that is not what God wanted. And so Moses' answer to Pharaoh's compromise was, no, we can't do it that way. Well, Pharaoh comes along with another compromise, and he says, all right, I'll let you and the people go and sacrifice to your God, but just don't go too far. Don't go too far. Exodus 8:28, it says, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Just don't go very far away. But here's the thing, folks, that's the way the devil is. He comes to you and says, all right, you go down to the church, but don't go too far with God. Don't get into this thing headlong. Don't really make a commitment to God. Don't really start living at home what's being preached from the pulpit. Don't really get committed. Hey, don't become like them fanatics that actually live the Bible. Don't do that. Oh, get you some religion, but don't go too far. But the thing is, God wanted them to go too far. God wanted them to go all the way. And so Moses said, sorry, the answer is no to the compromise. So Pharaoh came along with another compromise. He said, all right, sacrifice, but leave your flocks and your herds behind. Exodus 10:24 says, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. What's he saying? All right, you go, but leave your possessions behind. And just so you know, that's exactly what the devil says. The devil says, all right, you serve God, but whatever you do, don't give to your church. Whatever you do, don't you let them sucker you into this ridiculous thing of tithing and being faithful to God. No, don't let them do that to you. You see, and I'll tell you something, when God gets your heart, he'll get your wallet. There won't be any problem with that. And just so you know, we know if God has your heart based on what you do with your money. But that's not the issue tonight, but that's what happened here. What happened here is God said, now, Pharaoh, you let the people go. And Pharaoh said, I'll compromise with you a little bit here, God. Just leave behind the possessions. Leave behind the money. Leave behind that kind of commitment and sacrifice. But that wasn't good enough. There's another compromise, and it is the compromise I want to bring to your attention this evening. Pharaoh says to Moses, listen, sacrifice, but leave your children behind. Go ahead. Go do your sacrificing. Go worship God, but leave your kids behind. Exodus 10:10, it says, and he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go. And your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. What he's saying is, hey, you want to be careful putting your kids in that situation. Why not leave the little ones behind, and you adults, now whatever you choose to do, you go do it, but don't, let's not get your kids involved. And I thank God that again, Moses rose up and said, no. No, we're not leaving our kids behind. No, we're not going to forget about our kids. No, we're going to love our children. And we're going out of the land. And we're going far out of the land. And we're taking our flocks out of the land. And you, over our dead body, well, we leave our children behind. We're taking our children with us out of captivity to victory. And that's how it's going to be. And I thank God that Moses felt that way. These people, the children of Israel, they were a nation of people. And I think he was saying to all the children of Israel, I won't give up on your children, Moses was saying. Moses was saying, I won't leave your kids behind. I won't let your kids fall on the wayside. I'm going to love your children. And Moses stood up to Pharaoh and said, we're not going to leave the children behind. We do not live in that day. We live in another country. We live in the United States of America. In America, we are in an emergency about our children. Listen to this. Teen suicides. I had someone pull this off the internet. Current statistics just pulled off the internet on Friday of this week. Teen suicides. Each year in America, 400,000 teenagers attempt suicide a year. The runaways in America,
1.3 million children run away each year from their homes. Teen pregnancy. Over 800,000 teenagers become pregnant each year in America. And by the way, what a catastrophe. Abortion. And oh, do I grieve. And oh, do I bleed and hurt about this. There are 1.4 million abortions performed each year. Over 50 million abortions have been performed in the United States of America since 1973. Nearly 40% of teenage pregnancies now end in abortion. 320,000 teenagers have abortions each year in America. We're in trouble. Oh, God, do something for the young people of our nation. High school dropouts. 519,000 students in grade 10 through 12 drop out each year. Currently, there are 3.8 million students of a high school age not enrolled in school due to dropping out. 65 of all high school dropouts are drug and alcohol related. Alcohol use in America among our young people. About 10.4 million Americans between the ages of 12 and 20 had at least one drink last month. Of these 6.8 million, they were binge drinkers, consuming five or more drinks in a row on a single occasion or night. 2.1 million were heavy drinkers, consuming five or more drinks on the same occasion on at least five different days in the week. In other words, five drinks, 5 days out of seven. And those are the young people in America today. These are not statistics that Brother Owen strummed up. These came from the United States government. This is what they're saying is happening to our young people in America. Drug use in America. 63% of all children and teens ages 12 to 20 have taken drugs at one time or another. Well, I'll tell you what, folks. America needs revival in regard to our children. I'm here to say tonight, America, I won't give up on your children. The hope for America is in our youth. D.L. Moody had been out preaching a revival meeting. He came home and was standing about chatting with some of the people from his church. They inquired, "Mr. Moody, how did the revival go?" He said, "It was wonderful." He said, "We had 2.5 souls saved." Someone asked, 2.5 souls? "Oh, you mean you had 2 adults and 1 child?" And Moody said, "Oh no, I had 2 children and 1 adult." They said, "How so?" He said, "Because when you win an adult to Jesus Christ, they've already wasted half their life. But when you win a child to Christ, they have their whole life in front of them." That's how it was, 2 children and 1 adult for 2.5 souls. We need to reach the children of America. Stay with me as I walk you through the thoughts of my heart this week. And I say, like Moses said, we won't give up on our children. Let me assure you that at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, we won't give up on the bus kids. This is a church that believes in the bus ministry. You look out here, you'll see a fleet of some of the nicest painted church buses anywhere in the nation. Red, white, and blue, stars and stripes. Those buses, we try to make them as nice as we can. We want the kids to feel like they're coming to church on a Cadillac. We want them to know that we love them. And bus kids around here are not second-class citizens. Hey, the bus ministry is like the opportunity to be missionaries in America. Somebody needs to love those bus kids. Not always will a bus kid's parent help them get ready for church or bring them to church. And thank God for a whole bunch of bus workers, a mighty army around here that'll go out all day Saturday and knock on doors and tell others about Jesus Christ and invite them for free transportation to church. Thank God for the bus ministry. And I want you to know, I'm not going to give up on the bus kids. Thank God for them. Thank God for them. I can't remember the statistics, but hundreds of thousands of boys and girls through the years have rode the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church buses, and we plan to keep the buses rolling. You say, "Brother Owen, sometimes those kids are rough." Yes, I realize it, and that breaks my heart. What does it do to you? When they're rough and they're kind of hard to deal with in Sunday school, let me explain. That's because it's rough at home.
If you want to get a heart for them someday, go by and see how they must live. Go by and see that mama does not give them much time. Go by and see that daddy doesn't live in the home. Go by and see that they have it tough and they go to a school where their God is mocked and they'll be teased if they're a Christian. Hey, when they're a little tough to handle on the bus captain, instead of getting mad, get a burden. Instead of getting mad, won't you reach down deep in your heart and love them and realize somebody's got to help them. Somebody's got to care about them. By the way, we're not going to use them to inflate our own attendance ego. The purpose of our bus ministry is reach people, not to try to prove to everybody how big we are or how powerful we are. That's not going to become the case here. They're human beings. They have lives. And it's our goal to get every life that we can and change every life and invest in every life and win those boys and girls to Christ. We're going to reach them and love them and invest in them and treat them with dignity and care. We're going to teach them some discipline and teach them how to live for God. And I say to you, I won't give up on the bus kids. America, don't give up on the bus kids across this country. Secondly, I won't give up on the lost children in this world. I'm glad we have a soul winning ministry and we get little boys and girls saved. I love to hear the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I can't think of a greater truth than Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Folks, we got to get them saved. We've got to get the little ones saved. We've got to get them the gospel. See, little children's hearts are tender. And young people's hearts are tender toward God. You get a little older and you get set in your ways. I'd 10 times rather witness to a child or a teenager than some grown adult. Grown adults get to thinking they know it all and they don't need God. They get hard and harsh and bitter with God. And nobody has the right to be bitter with God. Nobody has the right to be bitter with God. But thank God that children's hearts are tender. I'll tell you something. You've heard me say this before. I'm never going to stop these little boys and girls from coming to the altar. I can't do it. I can't find it in my heart to do it. Some will come and make decision after decision. I wish to God that some of my adult men would get a tender heart like some of my little boys have, where they'll come down here and throw themselves on the altar and pray and make a decision for God. But we're going to get the little ones saved. I'm not going to give up on the lost children in America. Thank God for junior church that gets little boys and girls saved. Thank God for primary church that gets little boys and girls saved. Thank God our annual kids crusade, like our Bible school, that gets little boys and girls saved. We must not stop winning souls. We must not stop caring about the souls of boys and girls. And let me tell you this. Those of you who have loved ones, whether they're little ones or grown ones, if you have a child that's grown and out on their own and they're lost, let me promise you, I won't give up on your kids. If they're still alive, that means they can still be saved. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you stop believing. Let's pray. Let's pray that the children will be saved. I wish you could hear in our men's prayer meeting. We meet on Saturday mornings and we'll go around the room and ask for requests. I'm telling you, my Saturdays start out very tenderly because as we go around that room, men will raise their hand and say, pray for my son. He's not saved. Pray for my daughter. She's not born again. I want you all to know, I'm going to pray and pray and pray until we see our children saved. Don't give up. America, don't give up on the little ones and their souls. Number 3, I don't want to give up on America's fallen children. That rate that you heard earlier about suicide, I want to drop the rate. I want to conquer it. I want to overcome it. I don't know many that have it as a goal. I don't want any young person to feel like life is not worth living. And the problems are so overwhelming, there's no answer. Let me tell you something. There's no problem so big that God can't solve it. And I'm going to get the word out. I'm going to get the word out that God loves them. And I don't want teenagers committing suicide. I don't want the high school kids to drop out. I want them to believe that they can. I want them to know that they can make it. I want them to get a good education and grow up to be successful, and I'm going to fight it. I want to fight it tooth and nail. I want to see that rate of hundreds of thousands that are dropping out. I want to see that change. I think of abortion. I want to fight for those lives. And be very honest, I'm very pleased with our new president or his new term, because I really think that he will try to do something about that. I believe if he can and we can get some new Supreme Court justices, I think we could turn the thing around. And that'll hair lift every liberal in the country, and I'll be so glad that they've got that problem. They won't know what to do about it. And I am so glad you listen to me. If you have made the mistake and being involved in abortion, your God's a forgiving God. He'll love you. He'll rebuild your life. But I must say, abortion is murder. It's wrong. It's wrong according to the Word of God. And God knows we've got to do something for the children. You say, well, that's a parent's choice. I'm so glad that my parents didn't choose that I could not come into this life. It's a funny thing, your parents didn't choose to snuff you out. Seem like you'd learn by example.
Yes, sir.
And it is not a parent's choice. It is God's choice. Life and death is in the hand of the Creator, not the created. And so I say, America, I don't want to give up on your fallen children. The teenage runaways, I don't want to give up on that. I want kids to have happy homes and want to stay home. The teenage pregnancy, we want to fix that. We want to love the kids and we want to help them along the way. The alcohol and the drug abuse, let me tell you something, young people. The old world will take you for everything you're worth. The drugs, the alcohol, it will destroy you. And please listen to me when I tell you this. Listen, there are some greater things in life than getting high. This evening, a bunch of our teenagers, 41 teenagers went out before church tonight, won almost 30 people to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to promise you something. They got high on something that's not going to cost them tomorrow. There won't be a hangover. They can wake up tomorrow morning and say, God, use me. I kept somebody out of hell tonight. Young people need a cause, and in America, they don't have a cause. Well, rise up, young people, and realize your country's going to hell, and start telling people about Christ and carry a Bible around with you, and realize the God of the universe wants to use you. We'll give you a cause. You want something to do with your life? Hey, come down to the church. We'll give you something to do with your life. I don't want to give up on those that are fallen and those that are a part of those statistics. Number four, I won't give up on those who may fall someday. I want to tell you all something. I hope none of our children fall. I hope none of our children go out in the world. I look around, and again, our church is an exceptional church. You see all the young people fight for the front rows in our church. Young people, your preacher's proud of you, and I love you, and thank God for that. Yeah, you watch yourself that you don't start drifting toward the back. You get under the spout where the blessing comes out. You got to get close enough where the preacher can spit on you while he preaches. And God knows I spit while I preach, and we'll give you a shower before you get out of here. But I'm proud of you young people that you're that way. But I hope not one of these little boys or girls or teenagers, I hope none of them fall into sin. Oh, do I hope that. I want so desperately to walk guard around this place and make it a place where it's a haven of protection and purity. We're going to preach the truth. We're going to preach the truth. You say, why, Brother Owens? To prevent the fall of our children. Brother Brad, I'm going to use this for a second. Let me tell you all something. Brother Owens preaches hard and he stands firm, but I've got a reason. I've got a reason. I'm trying to protect your kids. That's what I'm trying to do. I want to keep your kids safe. Brother Barnes, I want to protect your kids. We're gonna learn right from wrong around here. And it's not gonna become a religious game around here, Brother Morales. I want to protect your kids. Ron and Tracy, I want to protect your kids. Brother Lowther, I want a church where your kids they're safe. Now we can't keep them safe from everything, but you can be dead sure we're going to try. We're going to try. You see, what are we doing? Hey, our kids, any child could fall. Any of us could fall. So what do we need to do? I just want you to know, I'm not going to give up on the ones that could fall. Martinsburg Christian Academy will do its best to prevent our children from falling. We'll have rules, and we'll keep the rules. And we won't change the rules and go backwards. We'll go forwards. Sunday school teachers will stand up and teach the Bible and live holy examples so we can keep our young people pure and clean. Our youth department will have decent, godly music and decent godly teaching and decent godly activities so your kids don't have to go out in the world and mingle in the programs out there, but we'll have programs here in the church so we don't have to mingle among the heathen. Why? Why? Because our kids could fall. I don't want our kids to fall. I don't want mama's hearts to be broken and daddy's hearts to be broken. If our kids fall someday, I want them to know something. Every boy, every little girl, every teenager, you look right here at Brother Owens. We're going to do everything we can to keep you right with God. We're going to do everything we can to teach you how not to get your life in a mess. But you listen. If you ever fall, don't run from me. Run to me. I'll help you. I'll help you. You teenage boys, I want you to live pure. I want you to live right and godly. But let me tell you something. If you make a mistake and you mess up your life, that office right back there, the pastor's office will be open to you. You come see me. I'll help you. I'll love you. I'll help you to rebuild your life. You teenage girls, if you make a mistake, if you mess up your life, if you embarrass yourself and you say, Brother Owens, I've hurt my life. I've hurt my testimony. Let me tell you something. You'll never hurt your life or testimony so much that this preacher won't help you. We could all fall. Anybody could fall. Our kids could fall. And I just want you to know right now in advance, if when our kids fall, I want to be there to pick them up. You see, I believe that we should not give up on the bus kids in America. I believe that we should not give up on the lost children of America. The fallen in the statistics of America, let's not give up on them. Those that may fall someday, let's make sure that they know we're going to love them no matter what. I won't give up on the Martinsburg Christian Academy kids of years gone by. You know, there are thousands of kids that have been in our Christian school. Many, many of which don't even go to church anymore, not even right with God anymore. Their lives are a mess. I want you to know something. I'm not going to give up on them. Brother Davis, we'll keep on working on them. We're going to keep on working on them. Some are bitter. Some are confused. I see it so often in Christian schools as the young people grow up and then go out into life and life begins to kick them around. I want to tell you something. I'm not giving up on them. I'm not giving up on a one of them. I want a revival among those at Martinsburg Christian Academy students in years gone by. I want a revival. I want to watch them come to church and realize the church still loves them and that we still want them here and they're invited here. And we want a revival. Don't give up on them. By the way, Ed and Betty, welcome to the Cost of Revival. There's a price to pay. Don't tell God that you want Him to use you unless you're willing to pay the price. I say to you, I won't give up on those kids from Martinsburg Christian Academy in years gone by. Number six, I won't give up on preachers' kids across America. Somebody needs to love them. Congregations can be so rude. They can be so unkind. They seem to be heartless sometimes toward staff kids and especially preachers' kids. Who is going to help the ones who give their lives to help everyone else? Who's going to do that? I got a call from a preacher last week. He was shook up. He's a man that is my senior. He called and I could hear he was trembling. And he said, Brother Owens, I just got to have help. My boy's in trouble. He said, I'm being criticized. I'm being attacked. He said, I just knew I could give you a call. I said, my friend, you called the right place. Because I'll help your son. I'll help him. He said, Brother Owens, my son loves you. He respects you. He trusts you. He said, to be quite honest, Mom and I, we don't know what to do. I said, Doc, even if I don't know what to do, there's one thing I can always do. I'll love him. But I think I can help him. I was at home this afternoon. I don't think you understand. My phone rings every day of my life with somebody that's hurting. Someone called me. They said, Brother Owens, please, can you help our preacher? Our preacher's a preacher's kid. And he's got a problem. And I said, yes, sir. I will help him. I said, tomorrow, Monday, I'll make contact and I'll begin the process of trying to help him with his life.
By the grace of God, I will never give up on one. I will not give up on one. There was a pastor, my wife and I, there were some people in full-time service, and we were having a conversation with them one day, and their child had disappointed them. My wife mentioned that child's name, and that mother actually said, "That's not my child anymore." My wife wept. Even if some preacher gives up on his child, I won't. I won't. I won't. I had a boy call me. He called me and he said, "Brother Owens, I'm in trouble." He said, "I've embarrassed my parents. My daddy's a pastor." He said, "There's nobody I can call." I said, "Well, why'd you call me?" He said, "Well, nobody but one. But I knew you'd help me." I said, "Partner, I'm going to come see you. I made special arrangements to go to another state. I spent some time with the boy. I want you all to know, if you've never been a preacher's kid, you don't understand. You don't know the pressure. You see, the devil, he takes a swing at me and he has a difficult time with it because I fight back. So he goes for the preacher's kids. Now see, I understand because I'm a preacher's kid. My daddy's a Baptist pastor. And I understand. I'm going to tell you right now. I want everybody to know it. I don't give up on preacher's kids. I don't, nor do I plan to by God's grace and God's mercy. I won't give up on preacher's kids across America. Preachers that get these tapes and they get them by the scores, give me a call. I'll help you. I won't give up on your grandkids. I want to rear that generation. I want to help rear your grandkids. I really do. I'm excited about it. You grandparents are rearing your kids' kids. Keep your chin up. We'll help you through it. Sometimes it turns out that way. There's some of you, you reared your kids and now you're rearing your kids' kids. You got a preacher that loves you. And I'm proud of you. And you hang in there. And I know it's not easy. And I know some won't stick with you. But by God's grace, I will. By God's grace, this staff will. By God's grace, anybody that's right with God will not belittle you. They'll help you keep your chin up. And some of you are doing a fabulous job. And I'm not going to give up on you, grandkids. We plan to keep the work strong. So when your grandkids get a little older, they can go to a young married couples class. Of course, Brother Nash, when the grandkids grow up, yours won't be a young married couples class. It'll be the old codgers class. But we'll start a new young couples class when your grandkids are old enough to get married. Some here are broken. You're brokenhearted over the way your grandchildren are being raised. If you'll allow me, I'll be brokenhearted with you. I'll help you. And if there's nothing else I can do, I will love you. And I will love them. I'm for your grandkids. I'll pray for them. I'll pray that God keeps them safe. I'll pray that they're in a good church. I'll pray that they're in our church, because that's a good church in my opinion. Listen, I won't give up on your grandkids. I don't want to belabor this next point, but I'm going to say it. I won't give up on our staff kids. We have many staff members that have children. We're talking about those that are paid staff here at the church. Some, by the way, some have little ones here around the church, teenagers, others that their kids go to our church, but yet others, kids that are grown and away from home. I want you all to know I won't give up on your kids. Just like the preacher's kids, staff kids live in a glass house. Let's not expect any more or any less out of them. Let's give them the same opportunities anybody else would have and the same benefits that anybody else would have. Let staff kids be kids. That's what they are. You young people who your mom and dad work here at the church, you're going to be treated fairly. And I'm proud of you. I'm a preacher's kid. I know something about it. Listen, if you want to talk about our staff kids who you have criticisms of, I'm going to give you permission to do so. I want you to talk about them. Hey, listen, if one of my assistant pastor's kids are having a tough time, talk about them. Talk about them on your knees to God. Because all the gossip in the world won't change that child. I can't think of anything more vicious than an adult that would talk about somebody else's child, and especially a child who goes through things you'll never understand. You want to talk? Talk on your knees. And by the way, so the staff children understand something, Brother Owens will rise up and defend you. I will defend you. Some of you long-tongued women that can't keep your mouth shut, you're going to tangle with a tiger one day. You'll figure it out. And I'm not henpecked like your hubby. We'll take that old tongue of yours and wrap it around your throat a couple times, tie you a bow tie that you ain't ever seen before. You say, that's strong. You got to be strong when you got strong-willed women. Thank you, Brother Nash. You staff kids, Brother Owens is your friend. By the way, I'll tell you something. Brother Bush, our Christian school administrator, assistant pastor, is very sensitive to that issue, and I thank God for it. I want you to know I'm not going to give up on the kids here around our children, around Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Young people, I'm not going to give up on you. Those of you, hey, if you're here and for some reason you had to drop out of our school, hey, you just keep on coming. We love you. You just keep coming to church. You're welcome here. You go off to Bible college someday and it doesn't work out, you just come right back to your church. You're welcome here. And we love you. And listen, we're all embarrassed of our sin. But you come on back with the rest of us and we'll all be embarrassed together and we'll learn to serve God together. To those of you, our young people, our children, when they get backslidden, you come back to God. I want to work on our nurseries, and I want our nurseries to be the best in the nation. By the way, all you nursery workers, you help me let that be the case. You be professional. You be holy. You be godly. You be submissive so I can take our nurseries to a new level. Because I want our children, even the little ones. You know something? I pray. I think of Mrs. Brinklow's nursery, I think it's a 0 to 6 month nursery up there. I pray every day and I say, Father, please, those little ones deserve the best. They deserve someone to care for them, that loves them. They deserve godly role models. They're just getting their diaper changed. They're being fed by a stranger, but may that stranger have the power of God on them, and may they begin a process where that child will recognize the love of Christ. I don't take it lightly. I want you young people to know, those of you that fight to be down front in the church services, your preacher's proud of you, and I won't give up on the young people here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I won't give up on our new converts. Why? They're young children. They're children in the Lord. We've got some young converts, and I'm not just talking about the children and the teenagers. I'm talking about adults. Everybody here that recently got born again, let me tell you something. You got saved, and the church is new to you. Well, Brother Owens gets up and says some things, and you say, whoa, no man ever spake like this man. Wow. Whoa, I never heard anything like that. Hang in there, young convert. Hang in there. Those of you that it's all new and fresh, you hang in there. We're proud of you. We're not going to give up on you. Hey, and I need the entire congregation to decide we're going to be patient with the new people in our church as they learn to live for God. No, they don't know all about the things of God. They don't know how to. They don't know all about good music and good entertainment and proper dress. No, they don't know all of that. And they need a church that will love them and be patient with them and teach them. We're not going to change our old-time ways, but if we're going to get the new-timers to the old-time ways, there's got to be patience and love and kindness and consideration. And you've got to give them room to grow. And so to our new converts, those new children of God, I'm not going to give up on you. Hey, new convert, if you fall and you do something you know is sin, don't run from us. Run to us. Just get up and try again. Just get up and try again. Hey, listen, some of you that have been around a while, if you see a new convert in the community doing wrong, pray for them. Give them a break. They just got saved. They don't know everything about God. They didn't become perfect overnight like you. So when you see the new convert out there in the community and they're doing wrong, pray for them and love them because they're the new children of God. I'll tell you what I'm really worried about. I'm worried about the new convert seeing some of you the way you live in the community. That'll hurt them most. Because your double standards your lifestyle that is away from the church that's unholy, and then you come to church and act like a holy Joe. That will confuse them. But I want all the new converts, those of you that have been saved for a few days, weeks, months, or just a few years, let me tell you something. You hang in there. He said, Brother Owens, I tried and I failed. Well, try again. Well, Brother Owens, I tried again and I failed. Try again. That's how I learned how to do it all. I tried and I failed and I tried and I failed and I tried and I failed. And I caught on, but somewhere down the line, I failed again. Well, just get back up. You're in a church that believes you can make it. And we want you to grow. And you're going to sin. Yes. Hey, well, let's not do it willingly. Let's not live in sin knowledgeably. But if you make a mistake, get back up. Up and get back to God. I won't give up on the new converts. I won't give up on any of God's children. God helping me, I won't. To those of you who are parents and you have adult children out of the will of God, we're not going to give up on your kids. Hey, church member, fallen in sin, we're not going to give up on you. I will not condone your wrong, but we won't give up on you. Church members, don't run from Him. Run to Him. America, we're not going to give up on your children. I won't give up on my children. My children may not always do right, but they're always going to be my children. I'm proud of my children. They're decent. My kids love me. My kids love my wife, and we love them. I've seen my youngest son win as many as 85 people to Christ in one day. If he stumbles, I'm disappointed. I will not condone any sin. But I'll tell you this. There's some people in here that are 60 years old and you've never won one person to Jesus Christ in your whole life, and you will criticize someone who falls, who's won 85 in one day. I've got a problem with that. God did not clean you up so you could impress everybody. God cleaned you up to use you. I've seen my children get tossed around and kicked around and mistreated. But thank God they land on their feet. This is going to sound a little bit of pride, but around our house we have a little bit of what we call Owens pride. The Owens are pretty tough cookies. We can take a licking and keep on ticking. And I hope to God I've taught my children some tenacity. And they know the real battle is with the devil and their daddy loves them. And I'm proud of them. And I will stick with them. And just so you all know, I'll stick with your kids. We're just a bunch of dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing sinners trying to make it through this life. Let's all help one another. I'll challenge you. I'll preach to you. I'll rise up. I'll yell. I'll scream. I'll do everything I can to keep us from falling. But when we fall, I'll be there to love you and help you and rebuild you. Listen, we can't solve all their problems for them. We can't reap for them what they have sown, but help me reach America's children. Let's be godly examples for them. Let's not let the young people lead our church. How about the adults lead our young people and our godly example? Or maybe I ought to say that again. When are some of you adults going to get with it? Are you going to let the young people in our church lead the church spiritually? That's sad. Some of you ought to be embarrassed of yourself. Say, I am. I'll quit church, you whiny baby. I just won't come back. I'll go to some church where the preacher wears a skirt in the pulpit. Well, maybe you ought to get right with God. Be careful criticizing those who have a tough time with their children. Some of you, yours are not grown yet. Some of you, yours are not dead yet, so you're not finished. Anything could happen at any time. Back the protection that we provide them. Don't fight it. Back the protection. I'll say one thing, and I say this to parents who I know struggle with their children. Someone said, well, you're a bad dad, or you're a bad mom if your children don't do right. I think I'd be real careful saying that if I were you. Because I have a Heavenly Father who has all sorts of children that misbehave. You're one of them. So you're telling me that God is not a good father because some of His children have misbehaved? I'd be careful slapping your father in the face. I'm sure you have been, and I have been, quite a disappointment to him more than one time. But that never made him a bad dad. That made me a disobedient son.
Pharaoh said, you can go ahead and have your religion, but leave your children behind. And Moses said, no, we're not going to give up and leave our children behind. And I say to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, we're not going to give up on our children. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.